Genesis 15, verse 1. The Bible says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for a beautiful day, Lord. It's a beautiful sunrise this morning. And Lord, just thank you for the ways that you show your handiwork and show that that you do love us and that you care about us. And Lord, as we look at this, the subject of the promises of God this morning and how you've promised us things, and Lord, our part in that, and God, I pray, Lord, that you just give us an understanding, Lord, and I pray that you guide my words, guide my thoughts, help the other Sunday schools that are going on right now, and I pray that you just give a quiet spirit there. Lord, thank you for the visitors that were here this morning. Just praise the Lord for that. And Lord, I pray for pastors, he preaches later, that you would fill them with your power, and that we would just be attentive listeners and willing to let the Holy Spirit touch our hearts and speak to us. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been thinking about this because of some situations with some different young people and things like that. And I've also been kind of really reading a lot about, there's a few guys I've been reading about a lot about. Abraham is one of them in my devotions. And I've also been reading about David and just their relationship with God. You know, Abraham was called the friend of God. And David was called the man after God's own heart. And I guess that's a desire in my heart. You know, I would want it to be said that I was a friend of God. And it's not just I think when you're a friend with somebody, it's not just there is the fear of God. I don't think Abraham ever lost that fear of God, but there was a different relationship there. Okay, when Abraham was able to go to God and negotiate for Sodom and Gomorrah and that type of thing. And one of the things that's really stood out to me is this instance in Abraham's life when God comes to Abraham. All right, so let's go back and we're going to look at this. And I want to pull the truth out of this morning that's applicable to all of us. And I guess maybe my mind, it goes to our young people because they have this decision to make. All of them have this decision to make. And all of us have, honestly, these decisions to make. So, Genesis chapter number 15, and I'll show you, hopefully I can illustrate this to you this morning. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So God, first of all, tells Abraham, listen, I'm everything you need, okay? I'm what you need. I am your reward, all right? And God is that. God is that for us. But there are times in our lives that we have these desires in our hearts. And we see that in Abraham's life. And I don't think that it's wrong to have desires, okay? I don't see that as being wrong. What was Abraham's desire? Well, Abraham's desire was for seed or children or posterity that would go past him, all right? We see that in verse number 2. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" So we see here in Abraham's life something that he really wants, all right? And that's a child, it's a son. And he's not, obviously, up to this point, Sarah has been barren. She's not had any children. And so God tells Abraham, verse number 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir," talking about Eliezer, "this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad," so he took him outside, I guess, "and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Now, this is a promise. This is a promise of God, that God comes to Abraham. I was with Brother Dively last night. I was here till 6:30 this morning. I had to go home and change or get cleaned up. I probably still do. I smell like I've been smoked. At least I don't smell like a pig anymore, so that's a blessing. I did smell like a pig yesterday. Last night was one of those real clear nights. And we're sitting there talking about whatever for however many hours. And, we're looking up, and all the stars, even, as close as we are to town, all right, and even with the lights of the town, you could still see most of the stars, or a lot of the stars. And, I was thinking about this last night. We're sitting there, and Abraham goes out and he looks up and there's all these stars. And God says, if you can number those, that's how many your seed's going to be. And honestly, scientists today are still trying to number stars. They have no clue. I mean, it is unfathomable. I mean, they find a galaxy and then another galaxy and then another galaxy. They don't know how many stars there are. Okay? But to the human eye, we can only see so many. But who's going to go out and count the stars, all right, and keep track of where they are and how many they are? Nobody is, all right? So Abraham, he goes out, he looks up here, and he sees that God's giving him, all right, this is something in my heart that I want. And God's promise, right here in verse number 5, God promises him that he's going to have as many children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren. I mean, more than the stars of the heavens, okay? And to Abraham, obviously this doesn't make sense. And we can go ahead a few chapters and we see when the angels came to Abraham, they told him that they were going to have a child. Sarah laughed about it. And she said, I can't have a child. That's past my years, okay? Well, with God, obviously nothing is impossible. So Abraham was given a promise by God in verse number 5. All right, so we have God's promise. Now, verse number 6 is very important. The Bible says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." All right, now, so Abraham goes out, and I don't know if he maybe started counting. I don't think so. I think he just looked up in the sky, and he saw the stars, and he believed that God was going to give him something that honestly was impossible, something that wasn't even fathomable to the human mind, okay? Now, we've been counting stars for hundreds and thousands of years, and it's still unfathomable to me what is out there, okay? I've been to the planetarium. I've been to a planetarium before, and that's really amazing. If you go to a planetarium, you sit back, And, you know, they start with, okay, here's where you are on the planet Earth. And then they expand it, okay, here's the planet Earth in our solar system. And here's our solar system in our galaxy. And here's our galaxy in our however many galaxies. And at some, you know, after, you know, once you get past our solar system, you don't even know where the Earth is. All right? And, you know, everything to us, and we still serve a God that hears me when I talk to him, but he has control over all this, and he knows each star by name, and he knows all those things. And that's amazing. But Abraham's out here, okay, God, I believe you. I believe you. Now, that to me, that's a lot of faith, all right? The Bible says he counted it to him for righteousness. We could go to Hebrews, the book of the, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abraham's faith. And, you know, well, Brother Chad, how were people saved back in, you know, the Old Testament? How did people, you know, we accept Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. You know, we look back towards what Jesus did for us. They looked forward to a promise that Jesus was coming, that Jesus was going to pay for their sins. And I'm going to show you that this morning, all right? So he believed God, he believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him for, or and he counted it to him for righteousness, all right? And he said unto him, verse 7, I am the Lord that brought thee out of your Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? All right, God, you're telling me all this. You're telling me I'm going to inherit this whole land. I'm going to have as many children or as many seed as the stars of the heavens. But how do I know this? How do I know this? Isn't that the question that we all ask? Is God, I mean, the Bible's full of promises. But how do we know that? How do we really express a belief that what God says is true? Okay? For our young people, and this is what kind of got my mind. You know, our young people grow up and we tell them, all right, if you live this way, all right, if you live for God and you give God your life, here is the benefits of giving God your life. If you don't and you live for the world, here are the benefits, or maybe the better term would be the consequences of living for the world. But you know, every young person has to make their own choice. Every young person, we just teach the Bible. It's not, you know, honestly, I told some young people the other day, I have no personal gain, honestly, for you living for the Lord. It's not like it benefits me anyway. I mean, I don't make money. You know, I don't get a commission. I don't get a commission off you serving God. All right? It's not like I have any personal gain in this. You know what our personal gain is? If there is anything, it's the satisfaction of seeing a young person live a fulfilled life and living a life that honors God. That's the only gain I have, okay? What we do and what we teach isn't for, we don't teach young people how to live right because it helps me, all right? I'm teaching young person how to live right because it helps them, all right? So Pastor presents the promises of God, these stars in the heavens, if you would, okay? And I'm going to reference that. The stars in the heaven promises that God presents, okay? And we present that to the young person, all right? But here's the thing. Well, you said, well, Abraham believed God, but what did God ask him to do? Now, I want you to pay attention to this. Verse number 8, he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Verse number 9, and he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now, Brother Chad, how did God know that Abraham really believed him and really accepted the promises that God gave him? All right? And I got an illustration. Okay? I've got two containers. All right? I've got a 5-gallon bucket and a Dixie cup. All right, obviously two different, completely different quantities. I don't know what this is as far as ounces. Probably it's 3 ounces, okay? And we've got 5 gallons, okay? Here is the difference. Here's where it comes down to the nitty-gritty as far as getting the promises of God. All right? Let's say that this is the promises of God. God has all of these promises waiting for us. Okay? And we've got this that we hold in our hands. Okay? Now, what did God ask Abraham to give? Was it his children? No. Why? Because Abraham didn't have any kids. Right? So God didn't ask Abraham to give something he didn't have. God asked Abraham to give something he did have. Okay? Now, what are you talking about, Brother Chad? I'm talking about God's going to ask us to give up what we do have with the faith that he's going to give us what he has. Okay, does that make sense? You know, as a young person, I told Brother Dively this last night, as a young person growing up, I had dreams. And I think every young person that's meeting, you know, right here, there's young ladies meeting, and about right back there, there's young men meeting, okay, in Sunday school, below us. All those young people have these things that they hold on to. They have these dreams. They have, well, when I get out of here, I want to go do this. I want this. I want that. I want this vehicle. And it may be spiritual things. But we all have our Dixie cup full of items or our Dixie cup full of dreams that we hold on to. But the hard part for us is by faith. And here's where it counts for righteousness. By faith, we have to lay this on the altar by faith in order to ever be able to receive the blessings that God has for us. You know, a young person has to sacrifice their dreams in order to get what God had for him. Abraham had to sacrifice remember how many flocks and herds and everything Abraham had? So those were things that Abraham had as a possession. Abraham had as, you know what tithe is? Everybody wants the blessings of Malachi that, you know, the windows of heaven are going to be opened. But we don't want to give up the 10%. God said, I'll open the windows of heaven and dump it out. But God, I want my 10%. I just can't give it up. You know what God asks? All right, you give me this. And I'll give you this. But I'm not going to give you this the whole time you're holding on to this. I'm not going to give a young person everything that I have. Remember, I can't even fathom what God has for these young people. I can't fathom what God has for you. It's like me going out and trying to count the stars last night. I can't even comprehend that. But God has for us, right here, if we're willing to give up this. So it's like, why don't we give up this? Wouldn't that make sense, okay, to give up? If I had gold bullion up here, and I said, all right, I will trade you everyone, I'm giving everyone a Dixie cup full of gold bullion. Now, is that substantial? Yeah. I would take a Dixie cup full of gold bullion, all right? But if I said, all right, you trade me your gold bullion, your Dixie cup, for a 5-gallon bucket full of gold bullion, wouldn't that make sense to do? Well, I don't really believe that you're going to do that. I'm afraid that if you, and here's the logic of what from a human perspective, our argument is, I'm afraid that if I give you my gold bullion, you're just going to add it to yours and I'm not going to get anything. That's what it amounts to. But I'm willing to give this to you. But you got to give me yours first. Well, I just can't do that. I'm afraid I'm going to lose this. And you know what? There's so many people and adults that live their lives holding on to this little Dixie cup full of gold bullion, and they neglect the promises of God. They neglect the promises. You know what? It's important for us, and not only, why are you telling us, you know, this class, right? Because this is applicable to all of us. You know, when God asks us to give something, what if Abraham would have been like, all right, God, you know, I'm okay with the turtle dove and the young pigeon. I'm all right with the ram. I'm even okay with the she-goat that's 3 years old. But God, that's my prize heifer. That's my prize. That's the one. I can't give that up. He didn't really believe God if he's not willing to give up the Dixie cup full of whatever, material possessions, dreams, whatever it could be. And you know, for our young people, it's important that we encourage them, hey, God's got this if you'll give up this. But as a young person and as an adult, you know, you look at your budget and you look at how much money you've got coming in a month, and you're like, 10%. You know what I could do with 10%? You know what I could do with 15% more money? And so we decide that I'm going to hold on to this. I need this month. And it's amazing how God not only takes this 10%, but he takes substantially more than 10%. You know, the devourer that the Bible talks about? He takes substantially more than 10%. All God asks, what is the tithe? It's a step of faith. That's what tithe is. You know when, and I told you I'd reference this. You know when all of the Israelites, you know what they had to bring as an atonement for their sin was something that they had, a lamb. And if they didn't have a lamb, they had to bring something else. But it was something that they had. And they sacrificed it. Why did they sacrifice it? They were giving up something. They did it because of their belief that if I give this up, one day there will be the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. And I, by my giving up this, I believe that God has this. That's what the sacrifice was all about. Okay? It was them looking forward by faith. But God said, you just can't give me lip service and say, well, I believe that you're going to bring a Messiah. I don't want lip service. I want you to give something up. You know what the Bible says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. It's impossible. Everything that we do as a Christian, Brother Chad, why do you do, you know, could you go out and make more money? Probably. Although, you know what? God has blessed me so much, tremendously, all right? But you know what? You got to give God this. You got to give God this, and God will give you this. Let's flip over a few pages here. Let's see. We're going to go to Genesis chapter number 6:17. I didn't write the reference down. Genesis chapter 17, we see that the promise, like I told you earlier, the promise of God that he was going to give Abraham a son. Chapter number 21, verse number 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. All right, so the promise of God is now starting. There's the one star. All right, it's easy to count at this point. One star. All right, why? Because at some point, Abraham gave up something that he had in his hands to obtain something that God had waiting for him. But we flip over to chapter 22, and God asked Abraham to do something else. All right? Remember, now he has a son. Now he has one son. All right? Now, I understand Ishmael, but Ishmael was because of Abraham's sin. Okay? God never told Abraham to take Hagar as a wife. All right? That was not God's plan at all. So God has one son, the son through Sarah, and that's Isaac. And it came to pass, verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. Well, what? God just gave him the beginning of this. And then God comes back and says, All right, in comparison, remember, he's got one. In comparison to what God promised him the first time, remember the stars in the sky? This is what it amounts to. All right? And God says, All right, Abraham, do you believe me? Abraham, I believe you. Then take what you have, remember, what you have right now in your hands. What I've given you right now, I want you to take it and I want you to sacrifice it. Why? So that God could give him this. So Abraham said, All right, I believed you the first time and I gave up a heifer, a she-goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. Now I got to give up my son. All right, God, here. There it is. And in a way, amazing how God said, All right, that's all you had to do. I want you to be willing to offer it as a sacrifice. And when he was willing to offer it as a sacrifice, remember, God brought the ram that got his horns stuck in the thicket, and he substituted that sacrifice. Verse number 15. And the angel of the Lord, after all this, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. Doesn't that sound familiar? What he had already promised him? But he added, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Now you talk about something that's hard to count. Okay? I mean, you might be able to count the stars, but there ain't no way you're going to count the sand on the seashore. It's impossible. Okay? But it's a promise. Where did that promise come from? It was because Abraham gave up what was in his hand to obtain what God had waiting for him. You know, that's what I want for our young people. That's what I want for all of us. But it's so hard. And don't get me wrong. It's so hard to take this. Because this is something I can feel. I can touch. I have within my grasp. And say, all right. I don't have nothing now. And God says, yes, you do. It's waiting for you right here in this bucket of sand or bucket of stars. God's got those promises waiting for us. All he wants first is that step of faith. Verse 18, or let's finish, I didn't finish that. Verse 17, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. These are the promises of God. God's got waiting for all of us. You know, for our young people, God's got a happy marriage. God's got a wonderful life. God's got a fulfilled life for them. They just got to give up this. But so many times it's so hard as a young person, and pray for them. And so many times it's hard as us, as even adults. God asks us to give up something. Usually it's something material. It's time. It's whatever. And God says, I want you to give up this. Well, I don't got enough time. I don't have time to go do that for 2 hours. And God says, all right, I'll just hang on to this. All that extra, those extra benefits. Maybe because we weren't willing to give up this amount of time, God sends the devourer, just like he does with money. Maybe sends the devourer that things just don't go. You ever had those days that things, for some reason, and I have them more often than not, it seems like, but just did not go according to what I planned. And I don't ever get as much done during the day as what I hope to get done. But then there's those days that, you know, you do something extra maybe at church, or you do something extra for somebody, and God said, all right, you gave me this. Here, let me dump some out on you. And those are rewarding days. Those are blessing days. And for a Christian, it's so important that we understand this principle of sacrifice, that we give up what we have in our hand by faith. It's not like we do this thing. All right, God, here, I'll trade you this, and I want this right away. You know, Abraham, still, honestly, the Jewish nation has still not quit producing. Abraham has not yet completely foreseen the fulfillment of the promise that God gave him in Genesis. It's not done yet. And they're possessing. I love to watch Israel, one little nation, and everybody, you know, they tread lightly around Israel. I love it. I think it's so awesome. You know, what is that? And ye shall possess the gates of your enemies. The gates of your enemies. And where did all that come from? Where did all that come from? By one man that said, all right, I'll take what I have. And God, I'm trusting that you're going to fulfill your end of the promise. And you know what? Abraham did his part. And God's still blessing him and his seed that came after him. You know, for my kids, I would hate to think that I was so attached to something or a dream or an idea that I wasn't willing to give this up for something I will never even see with my life. But I'm not willing to give this up, so God has to withhold this, because I don't really believe the promises of God. And I know in my life this has been a challenge to me, because there's things that God always brings in my heart that says, you know, hey, you should give this up. And so many times it's like, I want to hold on to my Dixie cup full of whatever when God has the bucket waiting for me. So let's not be the Dixie cup holders. Let's be the ones that sacrifice what we have in our hand in order to obtain what God has for us later. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson. Lord, it was a blessing to my heart. Lord, I hope it's a challenge. Lord, I do want to pray for our young people. God, I think it's crucial, because they're at a crossroads in their life, and they've got decisions that they have to make, Lord, that will determine not only their future, but everyone that will follow them through their family, contacts, friends, acquaintances, and by small choices and not being willing to sacrifice the dreams, the ambitions, the money, the time, whatever it is, Lord, we sacrifice your full blessings in our life. Lord, I want to do better at this. Many times, Lord, I seem like I hold on to the things of this life, and I'm not concerned about really sacrificing and getting the blessings that you have for us, for me, and Lord, I want to do better at that. Lord, pray that you bless the morning service, help pastors he preaches. Lord, I pray that souls will be saved. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.